Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today.
Thank you, Yahashua. Thank you, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty, mighty Yahashua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Thank you, mighty Lord. Mighty, mighty, mighty God. Mighty, mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. We serve such an awesome God, good God, great God. Amen. Thank you. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord Tower. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother LV Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for the opportunity to come on tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is so awesome. He is so great. We serve a wonderful God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. We need to continue to humble ourselves before him, continue to seek his will, that his will be done in our life and not our own. Our will is totally different from God. Thank you, Brother Michael, the Lord's servant, Crossroad, Joseph, Brother Strada. Thank you to each, for each and one of you, Brother Miguel. Each and one of you joining on, Sister Consuelo, Estra, shalom. Hallelujah, Tanis, shalom, welcome. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, we serve such a wonderful, wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yahashua. I want to begin with a prayer. Hallelujah. I've been in the Lord's fire this morning, and I want to begin with a prayer. My brother and sister, I hope the Lord will touch each of the listeners tonight in a special way. Mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, I pray for every life listening and those that will listen, Lord, that they will come under the blood of Jesus, the bloodshed and Calvary. In Jesus' name, live every mind, every heart, every life. Come under the blood of Jesus right now. Lord, send billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel. In Jesus' name, Lord, I ask you to touch every life, Lord Jesus. Heal those that are sick, Lord. Set the captive free. In Jesus' name, whom the Son set free, it is free indeed. Mighty Lord, I rebuke all sickness to go. In Jesus' name, I proclaim healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. Billions and trillions of warriors, angel, archangel, Lord, protect us and keep us tonight. Let your word come tonight. Now my will, thy will, be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Hallelujah. Shalom, Sister Luna. Thank you, mighty Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord put such a fire on me this morning. I asked him last night in prayer, thank you, Lord, in my overnight prayer with him. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, I don't have a word for your people tomorrow. Will you give me a word tonight? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My overnight prayer, he did, gave me a revelation to share tonight. Thank you, Jesus. He knows what we need. He knows how everyone feels in regard to everything that is happening. We've been teaching about Babylon the Great. And we will continue to teach that, my brother and sister. I believe this has to be the end time message. Preach, my brother and sister, before the coming of Jesus. There is so much going on. This by sin and everything else, the virus, it's all part of Babylon the Great, the fallen system that is in place today in our government and around the world. You notice how this by sin is around the world. There's not a single country that is not being vaccinated. There's not a single country that the virus are not gone to, my brother and sister. To every single country has a passport and has gone there free on plane, my brother and sister. And it's been touching every life with the life of Jesus is not on, or the blood of Jesus is not on, my brother and sister. In the moment the virus tried to come on you, make sure you claim the blood of Jesus. My brother and sister, you may be, you may need to be reminded tonight how powerful the blood of Jesus is, my brother and sister. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, my brother and sister. And to us, it's protection, and it's also like a weapon, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, my brother and sister. In Revelations 1:5, the Apostle John received this revelation from the angel that was sent to him by the Lord. And the Bible says that in from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and prince over the king of the earth, unto him that love us and watch us from our sins in his blood. When you repent, the blood cleanses you, my brother and sister. But it does so much more, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. It is a weapon against the enemy, my brother and sister, that we need to use, my brother and sister, in the last days. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's in our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's here to cleanse us, and it will cleanse us more. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. I believe that when we are sick, we open a door to be attacked, my brother and sister. I only experience sickness or any attack of sickness when I have sinned one way or another, my brother and sister. I notice that when I'm repenting and truly there, being cleansed by the blood, my brother and sister, I'm being protected from sickness. 1 Peter 1:2 is elect according to the first knowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifications of the Spirit, unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. My brother and sister, that sprinkling of the blood is being done in our life every time we repent, my brother and sister. That's why repenting is a must. You cannot keep putting repenting for later. Because a lot of people do that. I'll do it on Sunday. No, do it at the moment that you know your sin. And you don't have to wait to know. Because when we sin, there is a quickening, a reminder in our spirit, in our life, unless we sin willfully. And then you lose that warning, that quickening in your spirit to repent. Because some people has. Some people sin, don't bother them anymore. They keep sinning, my brother and sister. And it's not right. It's not righteous. Sin is not righteous. It has nothing to do with righteousness. On the contrary, when you are cleansed from all unrighteousness, then you stand with God in righteousness. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace, who brought back from there our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How he was brought back, my brother and sister, by the blood. The blood brings us back into righteousness. It brings us back into life. When the blood of Jesus cleanses you, you're standing in righteousness, but you're also standing in life. Notice how Jesus was brought back through the blood of the everlasting covenant, that great shepherd. He was brought back from the dead, the Bible said, when he died on the cross, the blood. Hallelujah. Through his own blood, God brought him back. So it was necessary for him to shed on his blood, to shed his blood in Calvary, my brother and sister. The blood of Jesus is so necessary that a lot of people are not noticing how much important it is, my brother and sister. It keeps you from your enemy. It protects you from your enemy. It gives you victory over your enemy, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord, for that. In this system of Babylon, the only way that can enslave you and keep you enslaved, and if you're not repenting, if you're not under the blood, repenting every day, this system of the Babylon, the fallen system, the system of the Antichrist, the system of the beast will keep you enslaved. If you're not repenting daily, it's easy for them to offer you the bicene of the Antichrist, the poison of the serpent. It's easy for them to offer it to you if you're not repenting. And then you kindly, as a kind person that you are, you say, yes, thank you to the poison that is about to kill you, that is about to send you to hell. If you're not repenting, you'll kindly receive the bicene. You think it's such a great protection for you when it's actually to kill you. It is actually to separate you from your own body, the body with the Lord and the womb of your mother form you and will have you be for 80, 90 years, as long as he wants to, as it was revealed to me that when I was put on this earth, I was put on this earth by Father to live up to 72 years of age. This body that I have, when the Lord formed it in the womb of my mother, I was to live on this earth 72 years. I'm going to 50. In 23 more years, I'm not supposed to be in this body anymore. I'm supposed to be in heaven. But I'm hoping that I'm out of here any day now because God said it's over for you. It is over. Are you listening? It is over, people of God. Time is over. We're going home, my brother and sister. We're going to heaven, to our dwelling place, my brother and sister. The one thing that people forget, my brother and sister, that they're not on this earth by the will of flesh. They're not on this earth by the will of the father and mother, my brother and sister. It's not because your father and mother decide to have a child that you were born. The Bible said that who were not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. This is not that your father and mother decided to have a child, and this is why you are born. And this, sir, that sounds logical. That sounds like a great idea. Yes, let's get married. Let's have a child, they say. And then they decide to have a child. But my wife and I, when we went out and we pray, we decided to get married. And we decided also to have a child. And we tried the first year, nothing. Second year, nothing. All the way to 10 years, nothing. I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, we want to have a child, Lord. Hallelujah. What is going on? Praise you, Lord. And then when the Lord revealed me and said that my wife was going to have a child next year, by next year, she will have a child, my brother and sister. He took me to heaven and explained to me, hallelujah, because to everything we go through in this life, there's an explanation. And the Lord knows it all. And the Lord can explain it all. This is why what you call confusion, that you don't understand the things that you're going through, my brother and sister, if you go to the Lord and the Lord explains it to you, it will make total sense. Right now, your life may not make no sense. But when you go to the Lord, it will make sense. You are not born by the will of men. The only reason why you and I are on this earth is because God meant it for us to be born. Hallelujah. Who were not born of blood? Human. The will of flesh? Human. The will of men? Human. Three times human is being mentioned here, my brother and sister. And in man, there's a body, soul, and spirit. Not by the will of men in three form or in three way. But of God. This is when God decide. This is when God placed that baby as I was shown to me. I saw my wife in the spirit. I saw the angel putting the baby on her womb, my brother and sister. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. That's when I understood. I said, wow. This verse comes to me so clear now. I understand it so well now. Because all three of my baby has been born this way. Not because we wanted to have a baby. We could not. We tried. And it happens to a lot of parents. But when they cry out to God and say, God, give me a child or I will die, says one in the Bible. give me a child, said the mother of Samuel, or I will die. And that's when the baby was placed on her womb. She could not have a child. My brother and sister, and Samuel was born, one of the greatest judges and prophet in the word of God. When it's from God, it works. When it's from God, it will overcome the world by our faith. We'll overcome this world, the Bible says. When it's from God, my brother and sister, we are more than overcomer. When it's from God, it will say no to the by sin. It will rebuke the virus, and it will say no to the by sin when it's from God, because it has a communion and union with the Father. And know when God is speaking. And it doesn't matter the condition it is, when he hear the voice of God, when he hear the gospel, when she hear the gospel, they'll say amen. When it's from God, my brother and sister, I have people listening to me. I say, Brother Elvie, I'm the only Christian in my family. My father, my mother, my brother, my sister, don't follow the Lord. I'm not giving the life to Jesus. And I try to lead them to the Lord. No, 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 they say. They're the only one. When it's from God, you feel lonely in this world. You feel like you have nobody else. My brother and sister. And you wonder why. And you ask so many why. When it's from God, there is a lot of questions that are not explained right away. My brother and sister. But the Lord your Father, the Lord your God, can explain these things to you. Seek him. Seek his will and not your own. Seek for him to explain to you your own life, his plan for your life, and much more. And he'll explain them to you in a mighty way. My brother and sister, he is for us. He's not against us. My brother and sister, Hebrews 13 tells us, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffer outside the gate. This blood works inside the gate and outside the gate. My brother and sister, and the gate of heaven cannot stop the church, the Bible says. My brother and sister, it's so powerful that if you're repenting your sin, if you come under the blood every day, you can go out and demon has to get out of your way. My brother and sister, because the blood is a protection, it's a weapon against the enemy. My brother and sister, the first time the Lord revealed to me the power of the blood, I had this food on the table, and I began to pray for it, and I said, Lord, let this food be covered with your blood. And when he covered that plate, it was like a supernatural miracle. When I tasted that food after washed with the blood, it was the best food I ever ate on this earth, my brother and sister. It cleansed that food. It just made it so pure. Whatever was on the food, whatever preservative is being put on food, it was not there anymore. It tasted the best, my brother and sister. And every time now before I eat, I pray for my food. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to cleanse my food. It's so powerful. I thank you, Lord. You should try it. You should try it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore the boldness, brethren, to enter into the holy, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus. A lot of people say, Lord, give me boldness. Give me boldness. You know what's going to help you to go in? Hallelujah. Is your repenting and the blood of the Lord cleansing you and being on your life. That will give you the boldness to enter. You want to enter into his presence all the time? You want him to minister to you? The secret is the blood. The high priest, before he went into the Holy of Holies, it was ordered by God that he would have to make a sacrifice for himself. Not to sacrifice just for the people, but a sacrifice for himself. Offer the sacrifice to be ready to enter into the Holy of Holies and make a sacrifice for the people. He did this every year, my brother and sister. But he has to make sure he was sanctified. Representing you repenting, coming before the Lord, having the blood of Jesus cleanse you and being of your life. That was bringing you the boldness. If you have the blood, hallelujah, you will go in. You will go in. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The loneliness, hallelujah, is the elected, selected one that you are in the Lord. You feel like you don't fit in this world, like everybody's different from you, because everyone made by God is special. Hallelujah. And in undeserved, feel like you're the only one, or you are alone. There are other ones, but you feel alone. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. But get under the blood. Get under the blood. Hallelujah. How does he bring us close to him? It's the only way. Learn this and remember this. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who once were far off have been brought nigh, close, by the blood of Christ. You see how you come close to the Lord? How you get close to him? A lot of people try in different ways. Some people say to me, brother, I like to go in worshiping. I like to go in repenting and covering myself with his blood. The blood. I want to make sure I have the blood on me before I go in, my brother and sister. Other people, they do a different way. I remember this. Okay? But now in Christ Jesus, he who once were part of has been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. Remember the blood. When you begin to repent, Lord, your sins and your trespasses, say, Lord, cover me with your blood. I want to come close to you, Lord. You want to get close to him, really close to him? Through his blood, that's a secret. That is a secret that not many knows. They try a different way, my brother and sister. No, it's the blood. It is the blood. It's the blood is the secret, my brother and sister. That's how you come close. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to show you that the blood, hallelujah, the blood has to be applied in, outside and inside. John 6:54, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I said unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink its blood, ye have no life in you. None. 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 But this is spiritual, you see. My brother and sister, this is spiritual. The word in Canaan was physical, showing a spiritual, hallelujah, event that we're going to have soon, a celebration in heaven. Hallelujah. He has to use parable to show people what he meant, and it was so difficult for the people. Hallelujah. It didn't mean that you have to kill the Lord and drink his blood. It's that the blood he should uncover, my brother and sister, will cleanse you in and out. Out and in, completely, completely. Some people can have applied the blood when they're sick, and they feel the sickness go away. My brother and sister, in and out, in and out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The blood is so powerful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. It is the will of God that we need to seek every day. Not our will, but thy will. Hallelujah, oh Lord. I begin speaking about Babylon the Great. I want to give you a few verses before I go into the revelation of Babylon. We're going to go into the revelation of Babylon. Let's share, hallelujah, a few verses. My brother and sister, Ezra 1:11. Another vessel of gold and silver, 5,400. And all these the Shebazar bring up, with those of the captivity who were brought out from Babylon to Jerusalem, my brother and sister. Ezra 2:1. Now these are the children of the providence that came out of the captivity, those who have been carried away from Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who carried away unto Babylon and came again unto Jerusalem and Judah and everyone in the city, my brother and sister. Every instrument of gold and silver was taken to Babylon captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The devil wants everything you have of value. He wants your gold and your silver, whatever you have in your bank account, and he also wants your soul. He's not going to rest until he tries to get everything you have. You need to understand the captivity, my brother and sister. This is why when people are vaccinated, they go into captivity. And they can fight it all they want. I saw someone fighting their captivity. The Lord wanted me to see in the spirit. as a person got vaccinated, the demon came and took the soul. And the soul was fighting this demon to go back to the body and said, no, come. You're coming with us, my brother and sister. That is going like the children of Israel. When King Nebuchadnezzar sent his army to take captive Jerusalem and Israel and all the land, they took all the value and they took the gold and silver, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The Lord has given Sister Barbara a revelation, a dream this morning that it goes so much with my revelation, which I'm going to play later. But I want to go into my dream, and then I'll keep reading what the Word says. So you see that everything is confirmed in the Bible, my brother and sister. Last night, as I asked the Lord for a revelation to share with his people, I don't remember after 2 o'clock in the morning when I fell asleep, my brother and sister. I had trouble going to sleep after prayer for some reason. I stayed longer in prayer, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. But sometime between, I don't know, for 2:30, 2:20, I went to sleep, and I find myself in the months to come here in America, my brother and sister. And the America that I find myself months from now was broke. The judgment had hit the land. I knew this. The economy was falling, my brother and sister. And there was no food in the supermarket, my brother and sister. I had several family next to us, hungry, looking for food, my brother and sister. And talking to the brothers and sisters, and we were talking about, what about other states? Do they have food? Can we call? Can we find out? Can we get information? The thing is, the internet is down. Power outages, there's no power, my brother and sister. And to me, I've seen this before. So it kind of related again to what the Lord has shown me before. But I was standing there in these months ahead, and I was standing there with the people and seeing the people going hungry. I said, I need to do something. And the Lord put it in my heart. My brother and sister, I remember the Lord, Pastor John, helped me to speak Portuguese. And I learned Portuguese, not so much, but a little. And I decide, my brother and sister, to call Brazil, to call a pastor in Brazil. And I remember speaking in Portuguese with this pastor, and I told him I couldn't speak much, but he knew me. And he says, Pastor, how can I help you, Pastor Elvi? And I said, Pastor, would you be able to send us food from Brazil? How much is 100 pound of, a 50 or 100 pound of rice in Brazil? And he said, no, it's still affordable here, Brother Elvi. It's still cheap. When he gave me the price, he said, that's very affordable. Pastor, is there any way we can order rice, beans, food, you know, to be shipped to America? And he says, I believe so, Brother Elvi. The shipping companies are still available. I believe we can send you food from Brazil. Yes, we can. We can send you a shipment. How much food are you going to need in America? We heard about what's happening in America. How much food are you going to need? And we started looking around the family that we had. Man, it was so many. And then the entire city also is hungry. I knew there were people in the house. They had no power. Everyone had come out in the street because it was useless to be in your house. You know, your cell phone won't work anymore. Your TV don't work anymore. Your computer don't work anymore. You can't cook. You cannot use your microwave anymore. And yes, there were people using like a gas generator, whatever gas left that they had. But I believe this was at the point where most everyone, whoever had gas, temporarily, they were running out, my brother and sister. And some people were saying, oh, my gas generator, it just ran out. I had no other way to banks. How are we going to go to the bank and get money, my brother and sister? Because after all the gas station runs out of gas, that's another problem. And if God is not, gas is not being delivered to the gas station, you cannot even get in your car and say, let's go. My brother and sister, for this reason, a few years ago, I bought a moped. I started to prepare. I said, I'm going to buy a moped. And a lot of people look at me kind of funny around the neighborhood. Why does he have a moped for when he has vehicle? And I'm looking at what the Lord's been showing me already. My brother and sister, but a few months from now, this morning, very clear, like people say, no smoking mirror. I'm standing here in this land. And we knew, my brother and sister, from everyone's around, hundreds and thousands of people out in the street, like we were all homeless. I won't say we were homeless because we have our home. The only thing is we had no power, no electricity, no gas anymore, my brother and sister. And people, of course, they're going to use the word that they can find, forests. I believe a lot of them will be cut down by people, things that they haven't done for a while, especially for heating. My brother and sister, a lot of our homes don't have a fireplace anymore, where you can use wood to heat up your house. All those things over the years has been eliminated, especially up here north. Everything with gas, propane, and so much other thing has been so convenient and so available that we have not worried about those things anymore. But now, a few months from now, we find ourselves that the things we used to use maybe 50, 40 years ago, 30 years ago now, we need to go back and use them again. My brother insisted. A lot of people were scared, saying, what are we going to do now? I can see some of them with their hand on their head. My brother insisted. The government don't have an answer for them anymore. Until now, every time there's been a problem, people go to the government and say, what is FEMA going to do? What is the federal government is going to do? And they've been able to help us some one way or another. But now with the economy falling, with all these blackouts, no power, no gas, my brother insisted, you know that when the economy falls, when the government tells you the economy falls, they're going bankruptcy, all the banks, Bank of America, Citizen Bank, all these banks follow. They follow the same. My brother and sister, they're not going to try to give you your money back when they're going bankruptcy. My brother and sister, hallelujah. And this is where we found ourselves this morning. Hallelujah. What do you do? What do you do? Because someone needs to come out with an answer. Someone needs to help these people. And I'm looking like a brother Ben. I'm looking at other brothers and sisters saying, do we have enough food to feed these hundreds and thousands? We're looking at each other because we didn't think this would be this big. We didn't think that we had to save so much food for so many people. And how do we turn people away? How do we say to our neighbors who are hungry, I'm sorry, we don't have enough? My brothers, we believers in Christ, the miracle worker, the one that fed 5,000 people. My brother and sister, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, feed them, and seeing the lack of faith. Because they said, where are we going to find food for so many people? What do you have, he said, 3 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he prayed, and they will multiply for 5,000 people. And there was so much left over. They were cooked and ready to eat, well seasoned, because they ate and no one complains. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Now we, brothers and sisters, in a few months from now here in America, find ourselves among thousands of people with an economy on the floor and power outages in every state. I heard people saying that they had contacted family when things started going down, when the bankruptcy was declared. And they were saying across the country, same thing was happening in every state. So this is not a North Carolina problem or a New York problem or just a California problem. I knew that California has been hit by an earthquake already, and it was major, major. And we forget how much the United States, the 59th state, depends on California. My brother and sister, I had to ask people who's been here longer than me, what happened if we don't have California anymore? What happened? How would the United States go on without California? Because this major earthquake that is about to come is going to level the state, break it down useless. My brother and sister, break it down useless. What happened? Can we go on without California, my brother and sister? And the answer I get is no. No, my brother and sister. Because most everything comes from China through California and other countries. Major import of so much that comes into the country. My brother and sister, without California, they say America cannot go on. My brother and sister. Well, California is about to hit with one of the major earthquakes that had never hit the United States since this nation been a nation. That's what the media is going to say to you. When you turn on Fox News, when you turn on CNN, that's what they're going to tell you, that America had never been hit with such a magnitude of earthquake that California just has been hit. My brother and sister, the deaths are countless. The bodies are countless. Children, adults, and elders are dead. Most of the buildings are damaged and home. In the state, the governor cannot tell you how much damage it is. But the only thing they can say is, we will not be able to restore the state. My brother and sister, someone will say, or a few, yes, we will restore the state again. But they don't know that it's going to be hit by a tsunami. That earthquake is going to open the way to a tsunami over California. My brother and sister, that's what the Lord has shown me. Hallelujah. So when they begin to rebuild some of the house, the tsunami comes in and damage the rest. Remember the Lord showing me people who were able, who had one floor house, one family homes, as we say. I saw them walking away from the house because it was damaged, walking away from California, walking this way up north. My brother and sister, that's difficult. That's difficult. My brother and sister. Because remember, when this earthquake hit, most of the gas station, there'll be crack, gas will leak, fires everywhere. So how do you rescue that when you have hundreds of fire everywhere? And the fire department cannot move their vehicle. Their own building is damaged. The roads are damaged. They cannot get the vehicle out to set the fire off. And so emergency FEMA, it's going to try to put off the fire in California. It's going to take some weeks to do so. By the time they do, those buildings, those gas stations are consumed, are enough damage where there's no rescue. My brother and sister, if I was in California now, I would be on my knees crying out to God to keep me and protect me. My brother and sister, I don't tell you to worry. I tell you to believe the Lord for your protection is what I'm telling you. You need to get on your knees and cry out to the Lord to protect you, to keep you, and to deliver you and your family. Lest you're ready to be going home with the Lord before the rapture, you want to ask the Lord to protect you, to keep you, and to deliver you, my brother and sister. I am telling you, this is coming. And this is very close. any day now, any day, it's going to hit California. It's going to shake California. And you're going to hear the scientists and then taking the credit that they warn people, my brother and sister. But no, God has spoken it first, and God fulfilled his word, what he has said to the prophet. Hallelujah. It's coming. It is coming, my brother and sister. But the rest of the country now, the rest of these states, my brother and sister, hallelujah, great damage is coming to our state. Great power outages, because even a lot of power comes from neighborhood state, my brother and sister, that they also are going to be shaking next to California. And what happened, my brother and sister, what happened when these states are damaged? This nuclear pump power began to leak around the United States. When nuclear power, like in Japan, began to leak here in the United States, then that become a harsher state, harsher condition for the people. That state needs to be abandoned. And some states are going to be abandoned in the United States, my brother and sister. Some part of the country are going to have to be abandoned because of the nuclear waste, the nuclear leaks that they're going to have, my brother and sister. It's going to get serious. And God's being so merciful. God is being so good, my brother and sister, that he's telling us before it comes. He is showing us before it happens. Hallelujah. So we will be ready. Whether you are there and you die, know that you will be with the Lord if you do. My brother and sister, if you have to be there, if there's no way for you to get out of there, if you say, God has not told me to move, repent your sin and trespasses. Hallelujah. And know that if you die, you will be with the Lord. You'll be ahead of us going in. Hallelujah. You'll be ahead of us because the dead will be risen first, the Bible said. You will be risen first if you go on before us. So you'll see the rapture before we do, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Those that have gone ahead of us, that have died and are with the Lord, they will experience the rapture, the departure of the bride of Christ first, my brother and sister, because the dead will be risen first. That is a great, great promise of the Lord to us, my brother and sister. Oh, it is not time to waste. It is not time to play around. There's only time to be repenting. There's only time to be seeking the Lord, because this is going to turn bad to the worst. My brother and sister, very, very soon, our government will not know what to do. With no California and even tsunami hitting the land, my brother and sister, the west coast of America, the government will be forced, hallelujah, forced to file for bankruptcy. They will not stand. It's impossible. So much is in California, my brother and sister. And then what happened? The banks follow. And the Lord showed me that. I remember this same revelation before, that we were going to the ATM, Bank of America, to get some cash out. And they were only allowing us to draw every week $350. My brother, some people needed more, because some people mortgage and rent a lot more. And the bank was saying no. Not only that, that was to pay the bill and buy food. And people would say, this is not enough with the children we have. No. No. It will not be enough, my brother and sister. I saw the long line in the banks, the limitation of the cash in the long line. And you are on FDIC insured, my brother and sister, it's $250,000. Okay, those that have more than that will lose all that money. Those that are jumping up and down with the stock market doing great now, that got $5 million, $2 million, $3 million, when this happened, they're gone. They're gone, my brother and sister. They're back broke again. They'll be broke again. I was telling brother, how is it that these business and company are putting the money in the stock market because they see the stock market going up, all the saving is in the stock market. And I remember in 2008 when the stock market failed, those people that had their money in there, they were having heart attacks. Some of them took on their life. How can you put all your saving in the stock market? It's foolish. It's a dream of the dreamer, my brother and sister. Don't be a dreamer. Focus on the Lord and trust the Lord for your future, my brother and sister. Even if you put your money in gold, when the economy falls, when the government files for bankruptcy, you know what they do with gold and silver? They confiscate. In the history back in, was it in the 30s when the United States did this? They confiscated gold on everyone, my brother and sister. They were going through people's homes searching for gold and took whatever they had. This will be repeated again in America. So if you put your money in gold and silver thinking it's the way for the future, it is the easiest way for you to give all your money to your government, for them to take it away and leave you broke. They're going to try to survive. And the only way they know is people have chained gold rings and many other things, bracelet. And they're going to go and confiscate everything they have of gold and take it away from people's home. They've done it before, and there's nothing new under the sun. There will be another repetition here in America. Will that save the government? No, it will only keep it running temporarily, my brother and sister. Is Donald Trump coming back to office? Yes, I believe the Lord will put him back. But the Lord is going to have him run a country broke. And I know a lot of people believe that Donald Trump will get the economy back and running again. I don't think that's the reason God is bringing him back, my brother and sister. As I said before, in 2015, before Donald Trump came into office, the Lord revealed in 2014, 2015 a bit about Donald Trump. He is a father to this nation. He loves America and loves the American people. And even though he'll be in office with this country broke, what he's going to do is whatever's left, give it to people and feed people. Remember, the Lord showing me this. I saw Donald Trump in office, and he was feeding people as much as he could. He was giving them food. He was making sure that people had enough food, my brother and sister. No more foolish spending on the Biden, as they had done before. They are not going to have more money for the Biden. My brother and sister, when the judgment begins, they will only have enough money to feed the people, my brother and sister. And people are going to riot, they're going to complain, they will be looting, stealing, killing. My brother and sister, Ben O'Casey, the Lord has shown me a lot of shooting, a lot of killing, a lot of blood being shed on the land. It's going to get horrible. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. And so when I heard Sister Barbara today, what a confirmation. Because I got my revelation this morning. And someone, hallelujah, mentioned a sister sent it to us. And my wife said, oh, Sister Barbara have another word. I just received a link and I went looking for it and I heard it. And I said, wow. Because I had told my wife this morning about the dream I had, the revelation of the Lord. What a confirmation. Yes, America very soon is going to be broke, my brother and sister. No money, no power, hallelujah, no food, no electricity. Your computer will be worthless. So it will be your cell phone. The cell phone tower will not be working, my brother and sister. I don't know if this is plan of the elite, because that's what a lot of people say. But whatever, this is a plan of the elite. This is what they've been planning to do. I don't know that, my brother and sister. I know the wicked and evil. I know this Babylonian system, the Antichrist wants to put it in place, is to ruin people's life, have control over people's life, put mandate and control, manipulate people however they feel like it. They're no good anyway. They're evil. And that's why Father is going to allow the people in the Great Tribulation, since they want to serve the father, the devil, to have him as much as they want for 7 years. But they are going to regret every single day as the father, the devil, begin to ruin their life even worse. The vaccine and the virus is only a shadow of the Great Tribulation, a small shadow. My brother and sister, are you listening? A small shadow. My brother and sister, is the vaccine. Hallelujah. And the virus of the Great Tribulation. If this small shadow had concerned the entire world now for 2 years, can you imagine 7 years of the full disclosure of the Babylonian system? My brother and sister, look what the prophet Ezra said. Hallelujah. As the children of Israel were coming out of Babylon, now these are the children, Ezra 2:1, the providence that came up out of the captivity, those who have been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away unto Babylon, and they came again unto Jerusalem and Judah, and everyone unto the city. They had no city. They had no home. They had nothing in Babylon, and they were obligated to worship the image in Babylon. They were obligated, mandated by King Nebuchadnezzar himself and through all the providence of Babylon, that they might worship his beast. Same system of the Antichrist they put in place. My brother and sister, and this is what is being disclosed in the last day. The system of the Antichrist. My brother and sister. So sad, huh? It's what the enemy has in store, prepared for his follower. Ezra 5:2, and after our father had provoked God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carry away the people unto Babylon. If it fit to their plan, they will destroy your house even. They don't care. They'll leave you with no power. They'll leave you with no gas to heat up your home. Nothing. They don't care for you. There's only one that cared for you. The one who gave his life for you. The one who proved to you how much he loves you by dying for you. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He truly loves you. No one can love us more than him, because he was willing to go to the cross and die for you and I. This is how you can prove your love. You have to be willing to die for that person. Well, Jesus already proved his love to us. Why would you trust anybody else when you have someone that already proven his love to us? My brother and sister. Oh, my Lord. Now, the law, are they going to change the law? Ezra 5:13. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, there came Cyrus and made a decree to build the house of God. Here they build the house of God, and later they destroy it. At one time they seem they are for you, but then they're looking to destroy you. My brother and sister, they don't care. The enemy don't care. He came to kill, John 10:10, steal, and destroy. My brother and sister, hallelujah. It's so sad. The people are trusting in this government. People are trusting in the system of Babylon. My brother and sister, no, don't trust in the system of Babylon. Trust only in Jesus, because the enemy plan is to carry you away. Esther 2:4, who have been carried away from Jerusalem captive, who has been carried away by Zechariah, the king of Judah, who Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had carried away. My brother and sister. Esther, the king, this young lady, experienced their evil as she saw her people being taken captive. So many people saw what this evil Babylonian king did. A lot of the people today who don't read their Bible have no idea what happened, and that this will be repeated in the last days. This Antichrist, Revelation 13, it is the same beast that was before, and that is placing itself in the scene of the world today. My brother and sister, same evil. He don't change. They don't. The devil doesn't change his way. My brother and sister, it works for him. People fall in the same lie and deceive. Look, he made somebody seen before he releases the virus. Over 30 years ago, he made the vaccine, my brother and sister. And to wish to take over the world, 30 years later, the vaccine they made almost 40 years ago, they're able to put it in place because they came out with a virus that will get people really scared. It will get people running to the hospital and to the doctor and say, go ahead and inject me. Inject me with whatever you have, but protect me. Instead of going on the prayer closet and say, Lord, inject me with whatever you have and protect me, Jesus. You trust on God, not on man, my brother and sister. And the Lord will inject you with his blood all over you and protect you from the virus. Hallelujah. You need to eat the blood. You need to have it inside and outside yourself, and it will protect you from the virus, my brother and sister. It will protect you from any virus, hallelujah, in the air, hallelujah, and any variants in the air also. My brother and sister, you will be protected. Remember that I was staying on the Lord Tower when the Lord took me to that great revelation and showed me how people are going to turn into beasts. And Jesus said that all vaccinated would change into beasts beginning the great revelation. They will all begin to change. I seen it with my own eyes. But Jesus spoke it to me, my brother and sister. And I was talking here in the Lord Tower about the revelation of the Lord. And I got to the part where some people who take the Johnson & Johnson will have one body and two equal head, J and J, Johnson & Johnson. And I didn't see this until I saw this beast in the Great Tribulation. And I began to understand the rest of the vaccine. But the worst vaccine of all is the Moderna, modern, new world order. That Moderna is the worst. Because when people change into werewolves like King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 4, it loses conscience, no thinking, a horrible beast with a great appetite for meat and blood. And it chases people to bite off their leg and arm, their neck, whatever they can get to eat. But I noticed that they were biting people off, but I didn't see them eating them. Then they went to the next person to tear them apart. My brother insisted. I was climbing a fence. It was like a 16 at a time feet fence. I was climbing, and these bees looked like they wanted to jump and get me. I was like, oh, no, oh, no. It was a terrible day for me. And the great tribulation. Yes, I like to tell people what God is showing me, but I had a tough time there. Believe me, it was not fun. I was running for my life, my brother and sister. And I didn't understand why is it that some people are turning to certain beasts and now they're not. And the Lord revealed me the variants. The variants, like this Omicron, is going to turn people into a certain beast. It's the virus being divided like to a certain dimension or form, if I would describe it, to when these people take this virus, these variants, hallelujah, instead of turning them just into a werewolf, it will turn them into some kind of other animal. I saw an animal with long, long hand twisted, my brother and sister. And it looks like a bat. Some human turn like bats, my brother and sister. And they're trying to walk back, don't walk fine. They kind of drug themselves. And that's kind of what they were doing, my brother and sister. And I saw that in the beginning of 2021, January, remember. I received a revelation of them that we're like bats. What does that mean? I didn't understand until we're taken to the Great Tribulation. These vaccine effect, these variant effect are going to turn people in different things, my brother and sister. But that is the outcome of the sin excuse me, and as a disobedient, because God have warned us not to take the Vaccine. And to some people that have contacted me, he has spoken to them directly, my brother and sister, not to take the Vaccine. This is not that Brother Obi Sapat is coming up with a story, an entertaining story to entertain you while people are being vaccinated. It's that God don't want you to be vaccinated, my brother and sister. God don't want you to turn into a beast. God wants you whole. God loves you and wants to protect you and deliver you from the worst, my brother and sister. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm signing up to a few sites of scientists that emails me every day almost describing these variants. And their description of it is horrible, my brother and sister. The outcome I saw of people turning into beasts is horrible. My brother and sister, you should not trust man. Curses the man that trusts another man. Trust only Jesus. Seek him only. My brother and sister, fast and pray as much as you need, but you need to hear from the Lord. Even if tonight you're saying, Brother Obi, I heard this message before. I don't know whether to believe you or not. Listen. Listen. Hallelujah. Trust Jesus only. If you don't want to trust me, it's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't trust me and you don't want to believe what I'm saying to you tonight, go into prayer and fasting, please. Please go into prayer and fasting with the Lord and seek this after the Lord. And say, Lord, will you confirm to me what Brother Obi's been saying in the Lord Tower? Please, please, Lord. I want to call him a Lord, a liar, Brother Lord. Reveal me, Lord, so I can call him a liar in the Lord Tower. I have people saying this to me. We're going to prove you a liar, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And then when they find out the truth, they say, Brother Obi, wow, it is true. All you have to do is go to the Lord. I'm not telling you go to my website and download all the message and then believe. No, no. I'm a man like you. Go to the Lord, please. Just go to the Lord. Submit your will to his will. Submit your life to him and ask him directly. Although you can save all that and just believe his messenger. But if you're having a hard time believing, go to the Lord. Even if you're having a difficult time, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, will you reveal this to me? Will you confirm this to me, Lord Jesus? Please, Lord, because let me tell you something. The one interesting in revealing these things to you is Jesus, is God. I will not receive this unless he reveals it to me to give it to you. I was finding heaven the other day, and he says, I'm sending you back to share my word and my revelation with my children, he says. And I try to beg him that I just wanted to stay in heaven, that, you know, I did what he's been asking me. I've been preaching the word, that I just want to stay in that place at the wedding. It was so beautiful. I was in such a peace. There was no worry. I was not concerned for anything. It was awesome, my brother and sister. But the Lord asked me to come back. And anything he asks me to do, anything he tells me to do, I bow my head, let his will be done. He knows best. He knows I just want to be in heaven. He knows I just want to go to heaven. But he's given me a few more days before he takes us home to share his word and revelation, my brother and sister. This morning, last night, I was tired. My brother and sister, for some reason, he wanted to reveal me this. Hallelujah. He had revealed it before. And sometimes when I want to ask him to reveal me, maybe take me to heaven. Take me to heaven and show me how the planet. Let me enjoy heaven. Let me just be in heaven. I want to forget about everything down here. I don't want to go to the tribulation no more. I don't want to see no more beasts. I don't want to see people changing into beasts because of the Vaccine. I just want to be with God. He cares so much for people. He cares so much for this message that he wants to show me more and tell me more so I will tell you, because he loves you. He knows how much people are going to struggle, those that are going to stay behind, my brother and sister. A lot of people years ago asked me, why is your email ZAPA 9939 and they're 49. If you switch the 9 around, it's 666. And I said, I wonder that myself, because I didn't do that on purpose. I wonder, why do I have those 666 in my email, but they're all 999. And the Lord revealed me. He was so kind to reveal me that I will be preaching mostly to those that will be staying behind. Yes, he's preparing a few to be going home. And the rapture, as he said to me, standing in front of me. But also that I will be speaking, teaching to those also that will stay behind, my brother and sister. And to confirm that to me the other day, he took me to the end of the Great Tribulation, right when we were waiting for the return of Jesus. I saw a group of brothers and sisters. And I said, brothers and sisters, how are you? I said to them. They were all gathered together. Brother Elby, aren't you Brother Elby from the Lord Tower, they say? Because we have listened to your message, and we have used your message even here to help us. We have downloaded your message, which that to me was awesome. That people in the Great Tribulation, as they are running and hiding from these demons, they have downloaded the Lord Tower message, and they're going to use them in the Great Tribulation. Praise God. Praise God for that. And they said, Brother Elby, hallelujah. We did hurt your message. How is it that you're here, Brother Elby? I said, don't worry about that, because how can I explain it to them? I said, Brother Elby, it's already 7 years. We've been looking at the calendar. We went, where's the Lord, Brother Elby? Is he coming back? And I said to them, Daniel 12 said that he would after the 3.5 years, my brother and sister. But here's the thing. Praise you, Lord. I'm going to finish with this. Hallelujah. But you have to add the time in order to get a best idea after the, because the Great Tribulation is 7 years. We understand by Daniel. Hallelujah. My brother and sister. Daniel 12:7, and I heard the man clothed in linen who was upon the water of the river. When he held up his right hand and he listened unto heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that it should be for a time, half, time and a half. So it gives you 2 time periods, okay, divided, half is divided, okay? Let me put the whole verse there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I want you to see this. Hallelujah, because there will be people staying behind that will wonder, how come in 7 years he's not here yet? Okay? How come in 7 years he's not here yet? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I heard but understood now. Then say, oh, my Lord, what should it be the end of these things? Hallelujah. And he said unto go thy way, Daniel, for the word I close up to the seal to the time of the end. For many to be purified may try, but the wicked should do wickedly, and none shall of the wicked should understand, but the wise should understand. My brother and sister. And from the time of the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's half of the time, 3.5 years, the abomination will make it desolate, shall be set up, shall be 1,190 days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many years? I want you to look it up in your calculator, please. This is important. Someone please take your calculator and do this math for me, please. Okay? 1,290 days. Please calculate how many years is that. Okay? Because I'm going to read you the second verse. And I want you to add the time together. And I want you to see how many days, how many years you get, my brother and sister, because this is what they were asking me in the Great Tribulation, and this is what many people have not understand yet. It is given to us the year, the time, okay? 3.5 years there, Okay, look at this now. Look at this, verse 12. Blessed is he that waited and come to the 1,305 in 30 days. I want you to add this to that. Okay, this is important. This is very important. This is going to help millions, maybe billions of people that's going to stay behind in the Great Tribulation. They need to download this message and play it in their recorders. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and ask verse 12 and tell me how many years is that. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you can see, hallelujah, why is it that when the 7 years came, fulfillment of the 7 years, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Someone is having a problem adding. It's just a little bit more than seven. Okay? It's just a little bit more. But if you get to the seven and you've been waiting for the return of the Lord, the second coming, and it's just a little bit more, how many days more is that? And that's what they, I said, listen, don't you remember Daniel 12? It was 3.5 years, and then the second count of the number was a little bit longer. Because the first is, my brother and sister, 1,290 days. 2,290 days. The third, my brother and sister, is 2,345. My brother and sister. So when you combine the number, you're going to get a little bit more than 7 years. And that, hallelujah, was making them desperate. Because Great Tribulation is 7 years. But the exact time is a little bit more than seven. It's being told to us, 2,290, 2,345. That is a little bit more than seven. Because you got 300 on the second count, 45. How much more? A few more weeks, my brother and sister. And I told him, no. I said, no, it is 7 years. It's just a little bit longer. And we were waiting there together until the Lord broke to the cloud and all glory covered the entire galaxy, Earth. And I saw those hundreds of fear angels, 90 fear angels more, frozen by the power of the Lord, under control, under him, immediately. We all fell on the ground under that glory, and we could not even move. My brothers and sisters, it was the most powerful things I ever saw. Here's the confirmation now. Hallelujah. Of what I saw from Sister Barbara.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome to the God Tiller 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara here, and I'm here with you today to share a dream I got last night, or I should say early this morning, maybe about 5 a.m., 4 to 5. So join me in the King James Version Bible, and I open right to this. I prayed for the scripture on this. So I'm in the book of Job, let's see, chapter 34. Let's start at verse 21. Oh, here's the Holy Spirit. Now I'm waiting for confirmation on this dream. It's a dream. But I didn't want to wait too long to put it up because I know I have lots of things going on, and if I got it, I might not be able to put the video up. Chapter 34, verse 21. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his doings, goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break, this is it, he shall break in pieces mighty men without number, and set others in their stead. Okay, let's see, do I want to go further? Let's see, yes. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, and that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways. That's it. Now, again, let's see, I'm going to say 3, 4 o'clock this morning. I was praying as I normally do. Is there anything I need to see or anything that I need to speak? So I'm also hearing a prophecy, and I'll say it's a Domer prophecy. So now here is the dream that I got this morning. Today is December 26, 2021. So I'm putting this up first. If I get the confirmation, I'll put a note under the video once it's already up there. So I had an appointment to go to, a meeting. So I show up at a building, and I go into a room. Okay, now, we're not a political channel. I'm saying that straight up, and I have no interest or nothing at all with politics. So my appointment was with the President of the United States. And at this point, I can't even say it, the President of the United States was Donald Trump. Yes. So I have an appointment with him. I have a meeting with him. I go in his office, and here is the hair-raising part of the dream. I go in his office, and I tell him that I was there for the meeting, and I look at his desk, and there's handicap bars on his desk. Okay, think of that in a minute, and what that could possibly mean. There's handicap bars on his desk, and I look at him, and I say to him, Mr. President, I said, you really need to get, of course I would say this, you really need to get a new desk. His answer to me was, I can't, we can't afford one. Whoa, look at this, how about that? That was the end of the dream. I think that was more than enough of a dream. So, I don't have the interpretation of it, so I'm not going to say what I think it means. Now, if anybody out there has the gift of interpretation for dreams, please feel free to put that underneath there, or your thoughts of what you think possibly this can be. Now, my own opinion, I'm going to just say this is not good. Based on the handicap bars, him not having money to buy a new desk, this is not a good dream that I got here. What's the word that I'm thinking of that I could describe it with? Come on, Lord, find that little file and pull that word out. Ominous, that's the word. How about that? So this is not a good dream. So before I forget what I'm doing here, like I did yesterday and I forgot to pray, let's pray. Let's do the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, I'm also going to add my dream that I usually say that I based it on the prayer of Jabez. Bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Keep evil and the devil away from me and my family.
Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. I am Celestial, and you are welcome to this channel. To all old and new subscribers, you are very welcome. Just a few things that I would like you to be aware of. If you are a new subscriber, you are very welcome. Please make it a habit of going to the original work that supports this blog, supports this channel, which is the Master's Voice End Times Prophecy blog. And that is where you can find all the written versions of these videos. So please always understand, if you've just come to this channel, if you've been following for maybe a few weeks or a few months, if you are not a subscriber, you are welcome to become a subscriber. But please always make a habit of going to the Master's Voice blog, because that is where all these prophecies are written out. I always invite everyone who finds these videos, read the prophecies for yourself. That is because the videos are merely for convenience. I've shared this many times, but because new people keep coming, I think it's wise to update anyone who may find these videos for the first time. This channel, YouTube channel, is merely a support to the written works of the prophetic. So the Lord God is speaking primarily to the people of the United States. He's speaking to America first, the things that I have been given, the messages that I have been receiving from the Lord since 2012 until now, just a few days until we leave 2021. These things have been recorded over a period of almost 10 years that the Lord has been entrusting me with these messages. And it is only in 2019, I think about May, that the Lord said to me, Celestial, it is time to bring these things out. It is time to publicize them, create a blog, and put them there. So I started transferring all the prophetic words that I had received up until that time. And I thought that I would just transfer them and then Once they were public, that was it. But during the process, the Lord said to me that not enough people are being warned. Not enough people know of these things that are coming against the U.S. and that, in fact, are coming to the entire world. And so he directed me to start this channel. And so this channel is just for support. Another thing is, when you watch these videos, it would be helpful to give them a thumbs up so that they can become more widely watched and more highly recommended on YouTube. That way, more people get to know about them. And without further ado, I'm going to go into a message for today. The message for today is continuing the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, the church, and to anyone else who finds these videos about the fallen angels, the fallen ones. This is all part of the supernatural series. And today's prophecy is called A Hole in the Sky, and I received this on May the 16th, 2020. But before I go into that, I would like to share to the Christians, if you are willing to listen, what unbelief does in a Christian's life. So the entire basis and the entire focus of being a Christian means that you have come into the knowledge of who the Lord Yah is. You have come into the knowledge of who his holy son, Jesus, is. And you are now living out that belief, that fundamental belief that there is a God, a supreme God, not a God, but the God, the only God, and that he has, through his son Jesus Christ, reconciled man to himself. This is not all man that is reconciled to God. This is only man that is willing to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, humble themselves, confess their sins, and repent. And then the grace and mercy of God towards us takes away the record of our sins, and we are now children of God. But I would like to share about this process that affects Christians very frequently in faith, and this is unbelief. Unbelief is not that deep of a concept. Unbelief simply means that you don't believe something. So you hear something, you hear it expressed to you, you hear it explained to you, and then you simply say, this doesn't fit into my worldview. I can't find a place to put it. I don't have a shelf available to accept it, and so I don't believe it. Sometimes unbelief creeps in, obviously because of the action of the enemy. So Satan can be the reason that people do not believe. But very often, unbelief operates in the church because of the prevalence of pride in the church. So to boil it down maybe to just a few seconds of explanation. Pride is simply when your heart is too full of yourself, your beliefs, and what you think you know to make room for any new information. So it doesn't matter what source that information is coming from. Even if it's just good old common sense or recommendation from other people, you don't actually have time to accept and receive that information because due to the operation of pride in the heart, you are too full. You are like a beaker that is running over with water, and so no fresh water can be poured in. And I was discussing this. Usually I will just sit and I will speak out loud to myself because this is a very good process of thinking if you don't know. And so when I'm doing this, especially when I'm doing Bible study, I was asking the Lord about this, and I think within a day or two I was led to study the life of King Josiah. Now, King Josiah was an extremely righteous king. He was a king that the Lord raised up after a very long line of disobedient and wicked kings. And so when Josiah came, he came into office quite young, and he was a very devout young man. In fact, there was a prophecy concerning Josiah's life, and when he grew up to the point that they actually found the law, because Israel had that time, it was either Israel or Judah, but the nation had at that time fallen into such disrepair that the Lord's book, this is not my Bible, but just my journal, but the Lord's book of the law had actually been lost. So imagine a people who are told you have to celebrate the Passover every year. You have to keep all this multitude of laws to be holy before the law, the Lord. They actually lost the book that was supposed to govern their daily lives. That's how fallen they had become. They were worshiping at Ashtoreth poles, and they were worshiping at under every green tree, and they were worshiping at shrines, and they were doing so much that angered the Lord that they actually departed completely from the faith and were just a reprobate people. And then when the book of the law was found, obviously, like all good kings, Josiah said, read the book to me. And so they're reading out the histories of the nation over time, over the years. And then he hears his name mentioned, and he hears the prophecy that says that he will be the king to restore the nation. And this man was so shocked at all the things that the law said that they should do that he didn't know about, that he tore his clothes and he repented before the Lord, and he quickly set about putting the nation back on track to be a righteous and a holy nation before the Lord. He held one of the mightiest Passovers that has ever been recorded in the histories of Israel. But I would just like to go to, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 20 to 27, because there's something very important that I think many Christians are not aware of, and we are in danger of departing from that. So there are quite a few concepts that I would like to cover that the Lord brought to me just as I was preparing before him, before I started this video, and then we will go into the prophecy. So let me read. It says, the title of this part of the Bible is called King Josiah Dies in Battle. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But the Pharaoh sent messengers to him and said, what business do I have with you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but I have come against the house with which I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. Therefore, refrain from meddling with God, who is with me, lest he destroy you. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face away from Necho, but he disguised himself so that he might continue to fight with him, and he did not heed the words of Necho that came from the mouth of God. Let's hold that in our minds. And so he came to fight in the valley of Megiddo, and the archers shot King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am severely wounded. And his servants therefore took him out of that chariot, and they put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem. And so he died, and he was buried in one of the tombs of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. And so we see a king that has restored the nation. Now we know that it is definitely the kingdom of Judah, for the nation Israel had split that time into the northern tribes, which is the 10 tribes that formed Israel, and then the southern tribe, which I think was just Judah and Benjamin together, and then they formed Judah. And so we see this man who, when he first heard the voice of the Lord through the word, he was so moved and so touched in his heart that he tore his clothes, which is a sign of great distress in those days. To tear your clothes means that you are actually voiding your office. You're voiding your authority, and you're saying, wretched man that I am, that God has these rules and God has these requirements, and I did not know of the Lord's ways. I will hurry and put my feet back on the path to righteousness. And so this man, through the many acts that he did, set the nation back on a course to pleasing God. But very shortly after that, we see King of Egypt, who is a pharaoh, they're always pharaohs, is going out to fight some other guy. So these two have a quarrel. And we know that Egypt is not a Christian nation. It wasn't a Christian nation, or it wasn't a nation that honored the Lord God when it held the Israelites in captivity many, many years at the beginning of the Bible. And it's not a Christian nation now. But there is a curious theme that you will notice in the Bible, even among pagan nations that did not worship God. They were sometimes able to hear and receive the prophetic word of the Lord through their diviners. So they did not participate in the worship of the true God, but every now and then, as you can see with the Pharaoh who had that prophetic dream about what was going to happen to Egypt in the time of Joseph, the Lord would still communicate to these heathen kings and let them know through his own way and his own will, you will be successful in battle, or you will be defeated in battle. We see this, for instance, through Cyrus. When Cyrus arose and he made what is called the role of Cyrus that has now been found in modern times, he made a proclamation and said that I have been raised up for this time to rule Babylonia and the Persians. I am the one who will rule the Persians and the Medes, and I am the one who God has chosen to let his people go free. So this man was not a Christian. This man was not born again. This man did not recognize God and his son, but he still knew in himself and declared by his mouth prophetically that God has chosen me as the one who will let the Jews go. And so this Egyptian Pharaoh knew that the hand of God was upon him to be successful in battle. So now we see Josiah, who is a king after God's own heart, who is a descendant of David and is rightfully ruling on the throne. Let's just say Josiah represents the church. And now the church is trying to rise up and come against a quarrel that God has ordained. Pharaoh is about to go and beat another nation, basically bring judgment on that nation. And for some reason, Josiah wants to insert himself into the quarrel. Maybe it's because he was strong. But usually when kings do this, it is an example of the overflow or the presence of yeast in the heart, the presence of pride in the heart. And so he wants to insert himself into this quarrel. And the Pharaoh warns him, an unsaved man, somebody we would say symbolizes a raven, an unclean bird in scripture, says to the dove, the clean bird, King Josiah, do not tangle with me, for the hand of the Lord is with me. The Lord has anointed me to do what I am doing. And I am warning you because I have no quarrel with you. But if you should come against me, God will strike you. God will destroy you, and the connotation is that you will be killed unnecessarily. You will be killed before your time because you are not heeding the word of the Lord. But it says here that Josiah did not listen, that he actually, which was a common habit of kings when they wanted to fight anyway, he disguised himself to look like a commoner, just like an ancestor did. King Ahab died the same way. He disguised himself and went into the battle, but God always knows when you are outside of your authority. God always knows when you are outside of the place that God has called you to be. And in fact, I will say that God always knows when you are outside of the place that God has equipped you to be. And when you step outside of your authority, God is not responsible for what happens to you. In fact, when you are warned and you step outside of your authority, you will receive the slaps and the stings of the serpent, which is Satan. And so Josiah lost his life because the prophetic word came from a source that he felt should not prophesy, and he died. They took him out of his war chariot and put him probably in his other chariot and took him home, and he died because of the wounds that were inflicted upon him. So I've been doing this for more than a year on video and at least 3 years written, but because it seems hard to receive some of the things that the Lord is saying. Many of you are having this experience with your family that have taken harm one, harm two. Some of them are waiting to eagerly get harm three. And you have experienced this shocking form of unbelief from people who profess to be Christians, people who say that they can hear the name of the Lord. I don't know who is talking to these people in these end times, but it is surely not the mouth of God. And so before I read this prophecy, as I'm speaking about things that seem very, very far outside your normal day-to-day Christianity, as I continue with this series, I would warn you not to be like King Josiah. I would warn you not to disregard the word of the Lord simply because you find it incredulous, you find it a mockery, you find it impossible, or you think you know the things that God would say and would not say. God is saying a lot in this final generation, and much of it is stuff that will stretch the heart and demand much from the mind. And this is why in our faith, Christianity, we are not asked to use our mind, because you cannot rely on logic and human wisdom to follow a supernatural and sometimes looks on the surface illogical God. You can only rely on the spiritual currency of faith to hear with your inner spiritual ears what the Lord is saying. And so the Lord has sent me to warn that fallen angels are treacherous and deceptive, and so is everyone who is serving them. So I'm speaking all the way up from the top brass in the international governments, who are actually, for a very large extent and for a very long time, receiving all their instructions from beings that are not human. And we will see more and more of this as the beast system continues to rise. I'm speaking all the way from the top brass, right through to those who have spent their lives researching this thing outside of Christianity. If you are researching UFOs, fallen angels, giants, or anything else, and you are researching these things outside of the Christian worldviews, if you are researching them and just following this, oh, there's life out there, and we believe that there's life out there, and you are not studying this very powerful scriptural and terrifying topic actually inside the bowl and the containment of the fact that God is the Lord and there is no other, and he is the only one that possesses the power that has subjected these creatures to his control for now. That control will be removed in the final days, and they will rise to wreck havoc among mankind. If you are studying this topic outside of the purview of Christianity and outside of the purview that everything you think you know about them actually stems from the disobedience of Satan and him being cast out of heaven, him and his angels being cast out of heaven into the lower heavens where they currently reside. I've spoken about this in previous videos, so there's no need to rehash it. And that they will come down to earth in the final times, as well as all the angels that came previously that are chained in everlasting chains, as Jude chapter 1, verse 6 says. If you are attempting to understand this topic outside of Genesis 6 and some other writings such as the book of Enoch, I think it's from chapter 7 all the way to 16, you can get a pretty good idea of what was going on in the earlier earth before the flood and after, then you will lack the central component, which is knowing that these creatures cannot be contained by man. They were not contained by man in the earlier times, and they will not be contained by man in the secondary times. And so the first thing the Lord said is that fallen angels are treacherous and deceptive, and so are all those who are serving them. Oh, this is also going down from the scholars down to the man on the ground who is actively waiting for their sky family to come and get them, actively waiting for aliens and other fallen beings to come and blend with them and live with them and elevate them in consciousness. And of course, many of them are hoping, many of the people who are waiting for fallen angels and for aliens to come to this earth are also hoping to be upgraded in the body. But I always say this, if you lack the fundamental humility to be content with the fact that you are just flesh, you are just dirt, you are just meat and blood that God formed and loves, if that is not enough for you, then you are a prime candidate for the end times delusion that you can be upgraded and you can be improved and that your life can be elongated to hundreds of years. The subscriber asked the question and I felt moved to answer, and she was asking, I think she was asking something about extension of life. And I was saying that it's very difficult for me to sometimes articulate the knowledge that is inside me, the things that God just pours into my heart. It's not always easy to write them out. So when you see stuff actually in written format on the blog, sometimes that's just the things that I can express. I cannot express sometimes the things that I see or the feelings that I feel or the knowledge that comes to me supernaturally by the Lord. But one thing I did share in answer to her question is that you that wants to live forever, you that is so indignant at God's evil and horrible ways and making us flesh and blood that's, you know, that can get sickness, that can get disease. Why do we age? Why do we get these wrinkles? And why do we lose the strength of our youth and everything? You that has this primordial offense in you, which is basically nothing but the fallenness of sin that is in all man. And so many people who are in sin, many people who do not regard God, nevertheless want these lesser gods to rule over them and come and share power with them. And you are so deceived. And what you don't know is, I answered this lady and I said that one of the things they do is they will surely extend life. They will offer you all the extra life you want. There will be some kind of system. I can't really explain it, but you will be able to extend life in exchange for currency. So basically you can pay and then you can get another year, 5 more years. And not only that, but they will be able to upgrade the body in amazing ways that have not been fully expressed to me by the Lord. But what I know is that you will be rotten. And I did share this in answer to this lady's question. You will be rotten, but appearing very youthful and very fresh. So you will look young and you will look rejuvenated after whatever this false and deceptive treatment they will give you is. But the fact is that you will be able to smell the stench of yourself at your real age. So I don't know if they will make you 300 years old or attempt to go back to the life spans that God gave Adam and Eve and Seth and Methuselah and the rest of them, Noah, 500, 600, 700 years. But I do know that as they extend life, you will keep dying in reality. So if you were meant to die at 67 and you buy extra life all the way up to age 90, you will pass the point where you were supposed to have died, and then you will begin to have stench. So you will smell you, but we will not smell you. You will be like the picture of Dorian Gray, where they painted that picture of Dorian, and on the picture, because of how morally corrupt and fallen he was becoming, the picture was transforming into a monster. But in real life, Dorian became more and more beautiful, more and more youthful. He seemed not to age, but on the picture, he was becoming a decrepit monster. And since everything that Satan offers, everything that the devil has on display in his evil candy shop is nothing but untruth, deception, and a lie that takes the soul to eternal separation from God, which is hell, which is a chamber of torments that never ends, all who participate in this will enjoy it for a time. But then when you want to stop it, you will not be able to stop it. So to people who think that it is only the reanime, the zombies who will be, you know, roaming this earth in an eternal form of undying non-livingness, where the scripture says they will seek for death and they will not find it. That scripture is not only talking about those who will be creatures. It is talking about everyone of an exalted and a sinfully proud heart who wants to go to Satan's table and eat at the table of demons and live forever and drink with the undead and toast a false and prideful form of eternal life. The time will come where they will hate it and they will seek for death. But once you trigger that fallen angel process in yourself, you will absolutely not be able to reverse it. So I think I'll stop this first video here, and then I will continue with the other things that the Lord has shared in a few moments, also after I fix the lighting. So God bless you. This is Celestial. Thank you to everyone who subscribes. Thank you to everyone who thumbs up and shares these videos. Thank you to everyone who supports these ministries, this ministry. And until I see you again, which is just probably 5 minutes from now, God bless you and take care. Goodbye. Hello again, and welcome to the Master's Voice. This is Celestial, and we're continuing. So in the first video, I spoke about concepts such as unbelief and how it can lead you out of God's will for your life, how having an evil heart of unbelief, as is spoken about in the book of Hebrews, is actually having a heart that refuses to believe the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord does not have to line up with your daily paradigm. The word of the Lord does not have to line up with what I would prefer to hear or what I would prefer to be told about. The word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. It is an absolute truth, and when it comes, God expects his people to not only hear it, but to absorb it, and even after a fashion, rejoice. I often think of this, and I write it on the blog quite frequently. Which is a greater display of love? To not tell people the truth and to allow them to walk in darkness until the time when the fulfillment of all things in Scripture begin to unravel themselves at a breakneck pace that most people cannot keep up with it, most people cannot process it, and then they begin to experience a total disintegration of self that leads to despondency, despair, hopelessness, maybe even suicide, or people falling away from their faith. or for the truth of God to come forward in a bold and a clear fashion that then presents people with a choice. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receive also his words and live, or refuse them, and then I guess you'll be left up to your own devices. For me, I considered it love when the Lord began to open up the things of the end to me. And as I was just thinking while I was processing the first video, I'm extremely grateful that God is a consistent God who follows a pattern of order. A pattern of order means that God has written his book. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Anyone who writes a book that has a beginning and a middle has to finish it. Every story has to be finished, and the things that we are going into here on the Master's Voice are simply the ending of the story. God would not write a story that has no end. God has already shown us in the book of Revelation that through all the things that will happen, through the pulling back of the sea and the uncovering of the great monsters that lie beneath there, Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord over the storm. He is Lord over the flood. He is Lord over the Nephilim. And this is the heart of God for his people to understand, that now when we have come to the end of the story, this is not the time for fainting. This is not the time for fear and giving up. This is the time to learn how to put on the full armor of God and stand in our faith, boldly declaring what our God has said about himself, that he is Lord over all. All means all. All means fallen. All means Nephilim. All means aliens. All means reanimate. All means all. But if we should have an evil heart of unbelief that will simply scoff and mock at the things the Lord is saying to us in his great love, then truly when we fall into perdition, whose fault is it? It is our own. And so we go into the other things that the Lord had said before the prophecy. He said that the presence of the fallen angels is etched and intertwined with human history. All you have to do is look and you will find it. So there are many people out there, some of them searching within the parameters of the Word of God, some of them searching outside the parameters of the Word of God, which I do not feel is very wise, because if something has its roots in the Word of God and you attempt to study it outside of the understanding of Scripture, you will always end up with half the story. You will always end up with half the tale. You will end up with important facets being missing simply because you're trying to analyze a scriptural and a spiritual thing in your natural and your logical mind, and you're bound to hit a wall somewhere. In fact, I would just like to recommend to those of you who are watching this that you must understand that these topics are spiritual topics. So spiritual topics are things that are not just talking about love your neighbor and do good unto those that hate you and things like that. Not just those teachings from the Bible. Spiritual topics, especially the ones that touch on Satan, you need to handle them with care. So some people may find that as they start delving into these truths and something like that, not attempt to frighten you, but just giving you fair warning. You need to understand. Let's just say that wherever the devil is involved, he tends to take an interest in materials that touch upon him. The devil made no pretense of who he is in Scripture, and he gave us a very clear indication of how he operates. When God spoke to Satan in the book of Job and says, well, where have you come from? The devil didn't say, oh, you know, I was just here in the second heaven and I was a little upset that you didn't invite me to the meeting of the sons of God. He said, I've come from the earth. I have been in the earth from walking to and fro on it. Satan actually comes and takes a great interest in the things that happen here on earth. So to all the unwise people that are always trying to summon up various forms of juju, getting involved in, you know, amateur witchcraft or experienced witchcraft or whatever it is that they are doing, when you touch spiritual things have a way of touching you. So as we go into this topic, and as the Lord continues to reveal the truths for the end times that he wants his people to know, make sure that you're walking in faithfulness to God. Make sure that you're praying. Make sure that you put on the full armor of God. Make sure that you pray with the blood of Jesus, and don't just spend your time watching UFO videos until, I don't know, 4 a.m. in the morning and think that you're going to sleep and you're not going to be attacked perhaps or be troubled by the enemy in some ways. The devil is busy. The Bible says that he is the adversary of our souls, that he walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. And so if you touch upon spiritual things, be a spiritual person and walk prepared and in the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God says that the presence of these fallen, the fallen angels, but also especially in the way that they express themselves in ancient history as the gods, the Titans, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, the Egyptian gods, as they express themselves like that, he said that you can find them etched and intertwined with our history if you only bother to look for it. To etch something means that you use a very sharp instrument and then you chisel it into a surface so that it cannot be removed. And I just thought that I would share a few things that the Lord used when he was sharing these things with me, when he was bringing me into the knowledge of these things for the very first time. I've always shared that it was not the easiest experience simply because God will just pour the information into you. And many times I had this cold, just the phrase, I froze like that when I would come to the understanding or the realization of yet another thing. And God was showing me just some instances. I've only listed 3 or 4 here, and I might not share all of them. He just showed me how to look. And once my eyes became trained in how to look, I couldn't unsee them. And so the first thing that really shocked me was, we know from the book of Enoch that I've covered that 200 angels came down on Mount Hermon. Now, when I was young, I was a true movie aficionado, and there is a movie studio by the name of Paramount. I'm just doing that to avoid claims or anything. Paramount Pictures. And they have a very interesting logo at the beginning of all their movies. And what is it? It is the tip of a mountain. So when Paramount Pictures movies start, you see stars moving through the universe. So you see all these little stars moving through what is clearly space. You see the stars moving through space, but then what do? They begin to come down to Earth, and the first thing that they touch is water. So you see the stars coming down and they begin to touch water because it's only water there. They dip their tips in the water and then they come and settle at the top of a mountain and they form on the head of a mountain a crown. Now, I've been watching that since I was a kid, but when I came to understand what was in Enoch and I saw that one day when I was settling down to watch a movie, it froze me. He said they're intertwined and etched in human history. This basically is a very posh way of God saying they're in your face all day long and you just don't know what you're looking at. They're right in front of you all the time, but because you're blinded and you have no idea of these truths, you don't know what to look for. So the next time you see, for instance, Columbia Pictures is the picture of a goddess. I'm not sure what goddess that is, but she's definitely standing there and she's holding this flame, and I think it has stars around the flame as well. You can look at these things. Another thing that the Lord brought up to me was concerning the reality of giants. When I was a kid, I read a lot of these books. They were insatiable to me. I've shared that on the blog, that I had no idea that God was basically laying down a library of understanding in my very, very young years, things that I would be able to easily draw from when he finally opened my eyes to the truth of these things. And the reality of giants, I don't think there's a story that's more famous than Jack and the Beanstalk. Which leads me to point out, many people feel that the fallen and even these things that we call aliens come from galaxies and come from worlds. And I just want to let you know that they don't come from any worlds and they don't come from any Zeta thing or whatever they say they come from. They come from, and I was thinking of how to put it, and God gave me such an awesome analogy, and I will just share that now. If you live, as I am now here, in one apartment, at times when I'm here in this apartment doing things, or if I'm typing and I'm quiet, I can hear the person next door, not like hear their conversations, but if they're moving furniture around, for instance, or if they're vacuuming, those sounds are loud enough to come into this apartment. And this is such a perfect way to explain where these creatures are. They are not far from us at all. I don't care whether they bring ships and whether they bring those hovering UFOs and say we came here from 72. This is the deepest, deepest deception. I do not understand how people can believe these lies. Jesus made it clear that the serpent lies, says that he is the father of lies. You know, the devil is lying when his lips are moving. Everything that he says is a lie. So how can, for instance, the government that has been in connection with these things for so long possibly believe that they have come from so far away? This is one of the oldest deceptions in the scripture. When Joshua and the Israelites had rested and the Gibeonites came from next door. They came from two towns over in torn clothes and dried and moldy bread and torn water skins and said, we traveled many days to get here. It took us, when we left, our bread was fresh, but look, it's green with mold. We have been traveling for months. Make a pact with us because our enemies are fighting us. And Joshua was deceived by these people. He even prophesied and said, how do we know that you are not our neighbors? How do we know that you don't live in the next few towns? And they said, no, trust us, we don't. He strikes a pact with these people and discovers within a week that they live in the next town. This is the deception of the fallen. They don't live in any far-flung galaxy far, far away. They literally live in the same plane separated by something. I cannot explain what that something is, but just as I am here, and if my neighbor vacuums or is playing miniature golf, those sounds translate right here. And my neighbor isn't living on another world. We're in the same building. So he's not in another world. He's just in another side room from me. And this is what this disclosure is going to be. It's going to come from the sky, which we don't understand. This is true. And it's going to look all intergalactical and stuff like that. But they are right here on the earth with us, contained here in our atmosphere and in our terrestrial earth. And they're not coming from anywhere deep. And that is just something we need to know. So giants are real. And for that, the Lord brought me to the story of Jack and the beanstalk and how Jack climbed the beanstalk and there attached to earth. For Jack climbed the beanstalk and the story says that the beanstalk went into the sky. Jack simply climbed into the sky, Tower of Babel, anyone? Into the sky, which is still attached to this earth. And there in the sky, the story says that Jack found the realm of the giants where they had incredible treasures and they sometimes would come and steal people because that is where Jack got his wife. There was a princess who had been stolen from another land that the giants were keeping up there, which means that they would periodically come down to the earth because that is the only place you can find women. Are you seeing the parallel with the story of Enoch, of unterrestrial beings that nevertheless come to earth and interfere with human women, taking them to be captive with them? And so Jack steals as much gold coins as he can, and he also rescues this girl, and he climbs down this beanstalk, and the giant that he robbed raises an uproar when he sees Jack, and the giants begin to climb down the beanstalk after him. And you know the story. Jack comes back down to the firmness of the earth, and no longer a boy, but with a commanding tone that made his mother obey, shouted, bring me the axe. And she brought him the axe and he cut down this connecting pole between the two realms or the two dimensions. And the giants fall and are killed. All the giants that had come down onto the pole, they fall, and because of the impact, they are destroyed. The Lord brought this to my consciousness and told me that this is the kind of account that he sees as historical. So God does not view this as a myth or a fairy tale. It is taught to us, to me as a child. You read this in a book and you think it is a myth. But when you read these things written by the Brothers Grimm or Hans Christian Andersen, if you're interested in going to the library, you will find in those stories, preserved, accurate accounts of what witches do and giants do and fairies do. And the funny thing about those stories is nowadays in this politically correct and woke culture, we will say, oh no, this is too graphic for children. But in those days, children read those stories because the parents would tell them that these were cautionary tales. In fact, it's even written, if you would dare to look it up on the internet, that the ancient Christians would constantly admonish their children and tell them that if they were bad children, they would be eaten by dragons. This was a widely held belief. It was understood in those days that Satan was a dragon. But now, when people read about the dragon in the book of Revelation, they literally think that God cares about China and that the dragon in the book of Revelation is referring to China. Yet God is speaking about Satan, who has many names, one of them being the dragon. Revelation 13, the beast will rise from the sea and he will get his power and authority from the dragon. Not the dragon, China, and President Xi. The dragon, Satan, long-lasting demonic power that wants to destroy humanity. And so, here is the prophetic word. This was a very clear and graphic dream that the Lord gave me. This prophecy is called The Hole in the Sky. I received it May 2020, and I'm scrolling down to where it is. This was a teaching post. And the Lord revealed to me something that will definitely come to this earth, and that is the exposure of these fallen, whether it is the fallen aliens, the fallen creatures that will come out of the sea in the end times. I have seen those also, and definitely the fallen angels that will be coming to expose themselves among us. So I dreamt of my neighborhood here in New York City, and at the time that I had this dream, in the dream, there was a big event that was coming up. So this was a widely publicized event. It was a great event, and I mean great. This event was so big that everybody who knew about it was making time to see it. So I myself, I remember these are the words that I said to the people that I was living with. I said, this event is scheduled to take place. I want to see it. I will not miss it by any means. It's going to happen outside and I will be there to see it. The funny thing about this event is as momentous as it was going to be cataclysmic to us as people. Not everyone knew that it was coming. But for me, I was not alerted to the coming of this event because of any advertising or anything that was happening outside. I knew about this event from the inside. It was a very strong internal alert system that was letting me know that this event was coming and also telling me that nothing should distract me from what was about to happen. And so at a certain time, I went outside to see this event, and the people that I had told also came into the parking lot to see this event. So it was just in the parking lot outside our building, and this goes to show that this is an event that whoever knew about it would be able to view it from where they were. There were a fair amount of people who knew about it and had come out. I think we were about 35 or 40 people, and there in the parking lot appeared a column of fire. So we know from the Bible that the Bible says that as Israel made their journey, God was with them in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. This thing was, it was upright in the form of a person, but it was tall. It was 7 or 8 feet tall, and it was a burning column of fire. So a huge, you know, just to an upright fire, but inside the fire, and I'm not sure that everyone else saw this immediately, inside the fire was a man who was wearing a white robe, and he had his arms crossed in an imposing pose like this. But I hated that man, that being in the fire that was wearing beautiful, glistening white robes and was standing, you know, the way eunuchs used to stand in the king's court or the way they stand, just very imposing with arms crossed. And it was like an angel in the fire. So it was like an angel in a burning column of fire, in a white robe, with arms crossed at the chest. And the fire was burning right through him and came out in a plume of fire above his head. So understand, plume of fire is what we see in the book of Acts. when the Holy Spirit comes above the upon the believers as they are waiting in the upper room, this is what this angel had. And everyone was amazed and taken away by this angel, but I felt strong repulsion, strong hatred against this thing, and I did not want to go near it, but everyone kept saying, wow, wow, and they were totally taken by it. And then in the sky, a hole appeared. When I say hole, I mean a massive hole. In fact, I wonder if I can make a diamond shape. How do I make a diamond? Okay, whatever. A diamond-shaped hole appeared in the sky. It was a massive diamond. And what happened is the sky simply moved back until it made this size of a hole. It was big. It took up such a huge portion of the sky. And behind that hole was what I wrote and said. It showed another dimension behind it. The hole was vaguely diamond-shaped. And it grew wider by the second. It was literally peeling back the sky on four corners in a diamond shape. And then it only stopped after it took up a quarter of the available sky. And I found myself looking right through our own blue sky into a massive hole with another world behind it. This is the Lord that I would mention, Jack and the Beanstalk, and another world connected to ours. In the same world or the same solar system. And I thought, Lord, this is the event that we were waiting for. This is the thing I could not miss. But what is this, Lord? I knew in my heart that something momentous and really huge had happened, but I didn't know what exactly it was. And I could not tell if this thing was God doing it or the devil doing it. And this is how the great delusion and great deception will be. So to people who have a very shallow depth of discernment, and to people who lack spiritual discernment at all, basically you are at the bottom of the food chain now. You're not even making sound decisions in your daily life. You're not even making the best decisions for your daily life, things that you don't even need to pray about, the basics. You're making poor decisions. This is something you need to ask yourself. How will you be able to operate in the higher realms of discernment where things cannot be detected with the eyes and where your heart will be utterly useless in informing you if an event or something you perceive is of God or of Satan? In the final days, demonic pastors that have borrowed power from other realms and other beings will be performing unbelievable mysteries. At the same time, God's servants will be performing the same mysteries. But how will you know which is of God and which is of the devil? You cannot make these decisions based on, oh, I know God. I know what God would do and would not do. It will not work like that. It is only by the Spirit that you will not follow a mermaid appearing as a woman and go and marry it, for instance. A mermaid talking scripture. They can and they will. And then you think, oh, I have found the church bride of my life. I am so glad I waited because I have just married into righteousness. And you have married into the Nephilim and will bring forth Nephilim and will not even understand that this is a mistake that you have made because you do not have the Holy Spirit speaking forth truth and life to give you discernment to let you know this is of me, this is not of me. For all my knowing and following the Lord, when the sky opened, the angel, my soul instinctively hated. So the angel that was mesmerizing everyone and people had drawn near to it and were just amazed by it to the point that they missed the opening of the sky that showed another world behind the sky. I have said many times on the Master's Voice that the sky is extremely treacherous, that it is not what people think, that it can open in multiple ways, that it can crack because it is a glass. And there is a prophecy on the blog where the Lord showed me that the sky will crack and ancient wickedness. There is some wickedness in this world that does not need to take a physical form. I'm just going to say that here and now because these things have already been revealed in print form on the blog. There is some wickedness that is older than the need for a body. It does not take a form. It does not take a shape. The sky cracked like glass, and wickedness came through. It looked like mercury. That's how it looked. It looked like cloud. It looked like mist, but it also looked like liquid mercury, like that guy from Terminator 3. It came through and people fled, and it killed people until the silver color turned black. It was so evil and it ate so many souls that the silver color turned black. The sky is not what people think it is. In many dreams that I have seen, the sky can open dimensionally like I'm describing now. It can make a hole, a circular hole, and in the circular hole, I saw what the Lord called the men of old, the mighty men of renown, huge bearded blonde and red-headed men, some of them brunette with bushy beard and hatred in their eyes for humanity. That was one of the very first dreams I had in 2015. And I cried out, not even knowing what I was saying, because who actually spent time on that tiny little verse in Genesis chapter 6? I cried out from a knowing in my soul in the dream, the mighty men are returning, the men of renown. And then when I woke up, I said, Lord, who is that? And that was when the Lord began to really break me into this knowledge of Nephilim and giants, and then lead me through just researching, just Googling that phrase, mighty men, the first place it will take you if it doesn't take you to Lord of the Rings. The first place it will take you to is to Genesis chapter 6, where that phrase is used, mighty men, the men of renown. I saw them like this. In those holes, dimensional holes that opened up and showed them one standing in each hole, and the holes were glowing and fiery. They look as when you take a cigarette and burn a hole in a plastic tablecloth. Just imagine if the glowing tip of the cigarette could make an imprint on a plastic tablecloth. Glowing orangey red holes of fire appearing with the sky just burning away, and then they stand in there. The sky also has the ability to form a funnel. I also have dreams like that that I have not yet shared. It has the ability to form a funnel, a spinning funnel of gray. And when that funnel forms something that looks exactly like when a hurricane is forming, you know how they show, there's the eye, and they show you that lazy mix of clouds, like when you first start mixing a cake. But then that funnel gets a tip. When that tip starts coming down, what comes out of that hole? Usually that is where a celestial just evaporates in these dreams, and I just beat the fastest retreat and I'm out of there. And so all I will say is that I was unable to discern whether it was by the Lord or whether it was by the devil that this hole had opened up. And in the dream, I was seeking God in my heart to have understanding of the spirit who made the hole. But not everyone saw that hole. Very few people were actually spiritually awake that their eyes perceived that hole. All they could see is sky. Most of the people who had gathered were captivated by the burning angel. It had their full attention, and people were even allowing their children to go near to that fire and be next to it. And so while most people were looking at this angel that had come down to earth, I gave my full attention to the hole in the sky above us. And so just understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is good, and that when the Bible tells us that God has given us power to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, understand that many of the things I cover on this channel is pointing directly to that last part of the scripture, not so much the serpent and serpent people or the scorpions and scorpion people, but all the power of the enemy. Most of us do not have the necessary imagination on our own to imagine what all of Satan's power looks like. And so to those who always say, well, where is this in the Bible? I just want to ask you, in your life that you've been living so far, do you think that you have it in you to conceive of all the things that Satan is capable of? Do you know what Satan has been up to for the last hundred thousands of centuries that he's been around, that he's been cast out by God? Do you know all the projects that the devil has been working on and all the wickedness that he will bring to bear on this earth in the final times? If you do not know, then here are the details the Lord God is coloring in for you now. This is Celestial with the Master's Voice. Thank you for being with me. God bless you and keep your eyes open as you are going about your daily life. As the Lord says, the presence of the fallen is etched into human society. So maybe the next time you go to one of the bigger, fancier libraries in your town, take a look at who they've carved on the doors on many of the bigger libraries here in New York City, and also some of the fancy buildings next to Rockefeller Center. If you go there, you will see huge gold carvings upon these massive, massive doors of Hermes and Jupiter and different variations of Hercules and the sun gods and the goddess Athena and the goddess Nike. You will see them all venerated here, at least in New York City, on many public buildings. I just went to return a library book, and I decided to just get off the train and use a library that is not in my neighborhood. And when I got there, I ran in because, of course, I didn't want to miss closing time. But when I came out, they had put the searchlights on, and they had lit up the doors and carved on these massive dark-colored iron doors were beautiful gold carvings of the gods. So if you do not know, especially in Western societies, that these fallen have left their mark, even in Asia they've left their mark, the fascination with the dragon and the fascination with strange beings that they have in India and China and places like that, none of these things are accidental. You can Google any of these things at your leisure and educate yourself. Just remember to keep the scriptures and the love of God and the blood of Jesus Christ central in all you do. Because one thing God does say is that all who follow the fallen eventually will become fallen just like them. So this is Celestial, and thank you for being here. Please give the video a thumbs up and support this channel by sharing these videos and thumbs up the video. You're welcome to subscribe if you feel led. There's absolutely no pressure. And until I see you again, God bless you and goodbye.
Sisters, it's Pastor Tim. Today is Christmas Day. I am pre-taping this. I'll explain why in a moment. But I want to wish you all a very merry and blessed Christmas wherever you are. You know, it is so amazing to me. It never gets old that our Lord and Savior, we believe in the eternally self-existing God in the persons of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We believe that God the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, left glory, laid down his glory, was born of a virgin, wrapped in flesh, he lived a perfect life, never sinned, and shed his precious blood on the cross to pay our sin debt once and for all, past, present, and future sins. He died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. When you have come to a place, you recognize you are a sinner in need of saving, and you believe on Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah, that he did shed his blood for our sin debt, that he rose from the dead. He is Messiah, and you believe in the resurrection, and he did it. He paid our sin debt, all sufficient, once and for all. You are born again, indwelt with Holy Spirit, saved, sealed, and sanctified until the day of redemption, heaven bound and rapture ready. As we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, Mashiach, Messiah, hallelujah, he tabernacled among us. Praise God. And it didn't stop there, as I've already outlined. He had a purpose and a plan. God did. From the foundation of the world. And aren't you thankful that he came as a babe in a manger, that he was perfect and never sin. Praise God. There's so much I can say about that. And so I pray that today has been a blessed day for you. I want to pray now, and then I'll explain why I'm pre-taping, and you'll understand why. But let's just pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Abba, we love you. You are the great planner. Oh, what a plan. From the foundation of the world. And we love you, Holy Spirit. You did the regenerating work in us that we are born again. Hallelujah. Done deal. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you continue to direct us and lead us and guide us and point us toward our Mashiach, our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, Yeshua. We love you. Oh, what love. What love that John 3:16 says it so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are a group of whosoevers, and we give you all praise and honor. Now, Holy Spirit, illuminate the word to us, for we know that we are in the final moments of the end of days, and we want to occupy and redeem the time to worship you, Lord, who the one who's worthy in spirit and in truth, to build one another up in the faith and to reach out to the lost in this triage time before that trumpet sounds. And so we pray, illuminate it to us. We want to be encouraged today, Father, and our gift to you, Jesus, is our lives. I personally am offering myself up once again to you. I thank you I'm born again and saved. That's a done deal. Now as a saved man, in these final moments of the end of days, may you be glorified. Take our lives and use them as you will for your glory and your honor. In your name, Jesus, the name that is above every name, we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, last week I did a message on how the wise men followed the star. You can go back and look at that. The reason I'm pre-taping, and tonight I will be sanitizing. I'll put on the gloves, and I'll be sanitizing the doors, everything for our church. Simply because, not out of fear, we have nothing to fear, I made a decision early this week to go into the hospital with a dear sister, please pray for her, Joyce, who was really critical with COVID, and I made the decision to go into the hospital with her during the contagious period, and therefore, I have quarantined myself. That we, listen, we have members who have different feelings about this. Many of you know my position on it, but I simply went in and prayed. That's all I'm going to say about it. And so I am quarantined. So I cannot be with my church family this weekend, nor could I for the Christmas Eve service. But that's a choice I made. And praise God, I would do it again and again and again and give God all the glory. And yes, I am well. Hallelujah. And I am staying well in Jesus' name. And thank you all who have prayed for me. I have a State of the Union address to give today as we are on the precipice of a new year, 2022. Can you believe it? We know. I mean, it would take more faith not to believe the word of God than to believe the word of God in these final moments of the end of days when we see prophecies aligning. Now, I'm going to say something, and this is not to create fear. Right now in the Middle East, right now, we have armies that are gathering at the Syrian border. And it is on great intel that Israel and Iran, at any time, we could be hearing about battle ensuing. You also have troops in that eastern border of Ukraine, and if you've been following the news, where Vladimir Putin and Russia are wanting to take back two regions in the Ukraine, NATO is against that. You've got thousands of troops, American troops there, even now, and that's going on. And meanwhile, who knows that Xi Jinping in China, I call him the self-proclaimed emperor, that he won't take advantage while the world is looking at the Ukraine to charge Taiwan, which is a real threat. There's been a lot about that. And even all that, as we see the world, as we see the birth pains, everything going on, we know from the Bible that we are in the final moments of the end of days. Now, I don't know whether that's 7 seconds or 7 years. I don't believe it's long at this point at all, but that's not the point of the message. I do have a message that the Lord has given me today, so let's get into that message because I'm fired up about it, and that is not in myself. It is a stirring. I don't know how many pastors will have to watch this or just believers that you know when the Holy Spirit begins to stir something in your spirit, and it's like a fire that's raging that cannot be contained. That's how I feel with this. Well, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. And this is in the King James Version. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, Paul began this section with the word finally, which is the Greek word toilopon, which means that Greek word finally, we translate it finally, toilopon, which means now for the rest of the matter. Or, I've saved the most important issue to the very end of the text. Or, as I often say, if you remember nothing else I say, remember this. What Paul is saying when he says finally, it in the Greek, the meaning is this is so important and you need to remain mindful of this thing. In verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, for we wrestle not. In verse 12, please take note that one word is repeated and spoken five times. This is so important in this verse. When the Apostle Paul was writing the epistle, he was writing to a Greek and Roman world, and he used words they understood, which we often don't completely comprehend, and one such word is the word wrestle. The Greek word pale and means combat or struggle. And it, now this is the word for wrestle, pale. And it means combat or struggle and is derived from a specific place, which was in every major city called the palestra. So that Greek word that Paul uses, pale, it is derived from a place in all the major economic centers, the city, and it was the palestra. The palestra, pale, is what happened in the palestra. The palestra was basically a huge athletic complex that was located in every major city. Now, that was different than the gymnasiums where students train and exercise. That would be the gymnasium, similar to what we have today. But the palestra was a place of combat sports, primarily for three types of activities. Those three activities that would occur in the palestra would be, one, wrestling. So that word that's repeated five times, there is a reason why that word is emphasized in that passage. So wrestling, they also had boxing, and third, a sport called pancration. None of these sports exist in the world today. Now people say, yeah, Pastor Tim, we have wrestling and we have boxing. Not the form that they did back then, and I'm going to explain. When Paul's readers saw the word palais, they knew exactly what Paul was talking about. For example, if I said baseball, I wouldn't have to stop and explain what that was. We all know what I would be referring to, because baseball, especially, and I know it's around the world, I don't believe any of our, we have brothers and sisters from all over the world, the brothers and sisters from the Netherlands, or from the Philippines, or from Iran even, they would know what I'm talking about. But baseball has been known as an American pastime. It is an American in artwork, in literature, as apple pie. And so when I say that word, you know, well, Paul's readers would know what he meant by that word. So when he talks about wrestling, this is what their wrestling looked like. First of all, they fought till one lived and one died. So when Paul would say those words, they knew exactly, because they had the palestras in all their major cities. They knew what he was talking about. There were no rules to the game like we have rules to the game. You didn't have referees telling you, oh, don't do that. You could break fingers. You could gouge out eyes, and often they did. You could get behind another wrestler and throw him up in the air, snap his back, and throw him on the ground, which was a common practice. That's the way they wrestled in Rome. It was fierce. It was brutal. That was the first sport that took place in the palestra. The second sport that took place in the palestra, so remember, when Paul was talking about wrestle and palais, they knew exactly what he was talking about. The second sport was boxing, and it wasn't like our boxing today. A boxer would take leather, and he would wrap it from his elbow all the way down his arm, across his wrist, hand, and knuckles. So the leather would come from his elbow all the way down to his knuckles. So that his entire arm was covered by leather. Where each knuckle was, there was a nail that was serrated, that would be sharpened like a knife. And the nails were between 1 to 3 inches long. These boxing matches were brutal and they were bloody. And this was a fight to the death. Now, pancration, pan means everything. Kratos is the Greek word for power. And when you compound these two words, it means those who have more power than anyone else. And these were the men who survived the wrestling and boxing matches. And now the champions had come together in pancration. And when they fought with clubs thick with nails. They fought with the most deadly weapons. And it was a messy conflict where at the end they carried the dead bodies out of the ring. So after the wrestling matches, after the boxing matches, the champions of those matches would fight to the death, and everything was open. There was no restriction to the horror that they could bestow on each other. All that is inside the Greek word for wrestle. So when Paul says five times, we wrestle not, I want you to get this picture of what Paul is relating to the reader, and now that you understand, to you and I. When Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the reader sees the graphic picture of what I just explained, and the reader knows what Paul is about to describe is extremely serious. Paul was alerting the reader that we need to be prepared for battle. Well, as long as you are born again, you have believed on Jesus as Messiah. He died, shed his blood, paying our sin debt once and for all, was buried, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and on the third day rose from the dead. Now, as a believer, we want to know how. And we've talked about this many times. First of all, know your identity in Christ Jesus. Once you're born again, you are seated in the heavenlies in Christ. When Abba, when our Heavenly Father, sees you, he doesn't see you in your mess. He sees you seated in Christ. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made him, that's Yeshua, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. We become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Done deal. So you are perfect in position to our holy God because of everything Jesus did, nothing we can do. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Now verse 10 goes on to say, for we are created in his workmanship unto good works, which he prepared beforehand. So we're not saved by works. We are not kept saved by works, but we are saved for works. Now, any works apart from faith, apart from yielding and being led by Holy Spirit does that, are really dead works of the flesh. And what we want to do is be renewed in our minds, know our identity in Christ, and be washed in the purity of the truth of God's word. Be in the word of God. Praise God. You know, the gospel is the plumb line. Then we want to be Bereans, students of the word. So the conflict will confront us at some point along the way as believers. The devil is not a fantasy, and he's not a fable. He's real. Now, he is not God. He is not all-knowing. He is not all-powerful. He cannot be everywhere at once as our God. As Hollywood tries to depict him that way, that's not true. I believe Paul was seeing into the spiritual realm and saw how Satan's kingdom was aligned militarily. We've talked about recently that we are, as 1 Corinthians 10:32 says, give no offense neither to the Jew, nor the Gentile, nor, and we translate it, the church, but that is the word ekklesia, which means we are his called out, everyone, Jew or Gentile, who has believed Jesus is the Mashiach, the Messiah, and that he rose from the dead, become part of the ekklesia, the body of Christ. So we translated church, but it really has a military application to it because we are the called out body, assembly, his legislative and judicial branch, and it's really military here on the earth. So that's very important to keep in mind as we continue. So I believe Paul was, again, seeing into the spiritual realm and saw how Satan's kingdom was aligned militarily. We are drawn into the battle. The word for principality is the Greek word archos, and it describes those who hold the chiefest seats of power and have held them from ancient times. So when Paul's talking about principality, he's talking about these chief wicked spiritual beings. And it was a word used in the military to describe the highest ranking generals who had the highest seats of power. So under them, he then talks about powers. The word powers is the Greek word exousias, and it describes those who have received license from the ones above. So the exousios, the powers, he says principality, they then give license to those below, the powers, the exousia. It describes those who have received license from the ones above. They have received license and authority to do what they want, where they want. It is also a military term. And then he mentions rulers of the darkness of the world, and that is the Greek word kosmokratoris, and it's a strange word, and it's only used here in the New Testament. It only has one meaning. Unlike other words, this has one meaning, so it cannot be confused. The phrase is a compound of two words. Kosmos describes the universe, something arranged and orderly. The other word, kratos, and it is the word for power. Together, this phrase describes raw power, which has been harnessed, disciplined, and focused, and was the word used by the Greeks for a boot camp or a training center. All these words in this verse are military words. This phrase means the devil trains spirits in the same way we would train soldiers to do combat. So remember I said we are the ecclesia, his military assembly, God fulfilling his legal and judicial body on the earth. So what was the role, is the role of the ecclesia? And how Paul would look at it, the ecclesia, at the meetings, the ecclesia made decisions about war and about foreign policy. They wrote and revised laws and approved or condemned the conduct of public officials. Now, here's what the Lord has really laid on my heart today. And I pray that you will join. We're going to start a movement today. We are living in the final moments of the end of days. And not only in the United States of America, but our brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the very same thing. The Antichrist system is rising up. And the reason I believe God gave me this message is so that we can take charge and know our identity in Christ and how critical this period is that we are living in right now. Do you realize that God ordained before the foundation of the world that we would live and breathe and have our being? And while sobering, the most exciting time in church history. We have rulers, self-appointed emperors, setting up kingdoms and coming together as part, as a global front. It is the beast system being aligned right before our very eyes. I often talk about what prophecies are aligning and being fulfilled. And I pray, excuse me, that you do not have fear come in from this message, but that you realize that we are the ecclesia. And if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says, greater is he who's in us, believers, than he who's in the world. And the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead abides in us. It is time for God's people, for the ecclesia, to armor up, as Paul said, and be the ecclesia. It's time for us to stop sitting quietly. Yes, everything we do in the love of God. Jesus Christ has given us a mandate. It is not the world's mandate. We reject the world's mandate. It is the mandate to function in fierce love of God. 1 John 4:7 and 8 tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But we have famous people who have come out and said, it's relative truth. It's relative. It's moral relativism. No, it's not. Truth is absolute. And I am sick and tired of watching leaders within Christendom fear speaking out against evil government, against a deep state shadow government. It is time for God's people to arise and be the ecclesia. It is time for God's people to armor up and say no more to these world governments that want to dictate how we live our lives and the truth we teach our children. No more. It is time to rise up and armor up, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is coming for his bride. Until he does, it is our responsibility. It is the Lord's mandate to us to armor up and speak the truth. Yes, we love people, and loving people is being truthful. I'm not going to have the Antichrist system rising before our very eyes tell me how I am going to live my life based on lies and falsehood and fake narratives, which they do. And many are falling prey to it, even in the church. It is a time of separation. Those who will be the body of Christ and love enough to speak the absolute truth. And the ultimate absolute truth is what Jesus said. And I already repeated it. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not politically correct. You're labeled everything. You'll be censored. Who cares? If God be for us, who can be against us? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You're not going to get there through Muhammad. You're not going to get there through Buddha. You're not going to get there through New Age mysticism. That's not going to happen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we have to stop cowering in corners. Oh, we don't want to cause waves. Speak the truth. Be bold and let Holy Spirit lead you. Listen, I don't care what people think about me. The Bible says to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can't lose. And to the death, I'm going to armor up. So what I'm suggesting is right here, right now, we begin a movement. Hashtag armor up. Who will join in this movement? And we are going to be bold for Jesus in this time of triage. You know, I think of triage, and it's like a building's burning, and people are going to die inside, and we're snatching them out of the way just in the nick of time. Who will join? Who will join and be bold for Jesus in this season? Jesus gave his all. No greater love has any man displayed than Jesus Christ did. And it's time. It's time. So here's our mandate, brothers and sisters. Let's boldly proclaim the gospel. Let's love fiercely and speak truth. We are not going to cave to the words and the labels that they try to put on us, saying that we're extremists, that all kinds of things. I want to be careful. I have been called everything, homophobic, xenophobic, racist, you name it. I've been called it simply for boldly proclaiming the gospel and refusing to call evil good and good evil. It is time for God's people to rise up and be bold in this season. It is time to armor up. I pray that you were encouraged by this message, and I pray that many of you will join me on your week. It's simple. On your messages, hashtag armor up. I order clothing that has hashtag armor up on it, and there'll be links that people can order to make your own, do your own. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for anything. I am asking for prayer, and I'm asking those who will join, who are willing to be bold, to be the ecclesia. We're facing a new year. I firmly believe, I don't know, this is not of us, saith the Lord, that for all we know, 2022 will be the year when the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with them. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. I don't know, but until that trump sounds, I want to be all in. You're already born again if you have believed on Jesus. You can say, no way, I don't want to do that. Does that rob you of your salvation? No! You are saved, sealed, and sanctified. That instant, that nanosecond, that raptosecond, the zeptosecond you believe, but we have an opportunity to come together. Does that mean that we have to agree on everything? No, we don't. The gospel is the plumb line, but we can armor up, and we can be bold in this season for Jesus. Will you armor up? Will you armor up? Well, I'm going to leave that to you. I want to tell you, it is Christmas Day. And on this Christmas Day, I wish you peace and joy and health and provision. And I want to close with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance be lifted on you, and his shalom, his peace, perfect, whole, complete, nothing lacking, nothing missing, be yours in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Messiah. I pray and I bless you. And finally, if you've heard nothing else, hear this. God loves you fiercely and passionately, and I love you too. Shalom, shalom.
No,
there shall be an increased measure that shall come upon you, and you'll shake off the dust of the past.